Of Matthew chapter number 14. Matthew chapter number 14, if you would, please. Matthew chapter number 14. I know without a doubt the Lord has impressed my heart to preach this message tonight. And in that, with that in mind, I'm confident that there's a recipient. God doesn't send a message without somebody to receive it. And I don't know who that you are. I don't know how many there are in this building tonight. But I'm confident, not in myself, but in the leadership of the Lord, that He wants to speak to somebody tonight. Amen. Matthew chapter number 14, I begin reading in verse number 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side. While he sent the multitudes away, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou." Now that he just got through clarifying in verse 27, "It is I." I mean, he just clarified that. And if we're not careful, the storm will cause us to have hearing problems. And the Lord will say needful things to us that will help us what we need to hear. But if we're focused on the storm and the darkness and the circumstance and the situation, we won't hear what he says. And he comes in with a question and he says, "If it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now I want you to look at verse 30 with me. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Let's pray. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you'll bring to my attention things that I need to say, things I need to see. Help me to get personal with this congregation that's before me. Lord, I realize, dear God, that I'm nothing, but you're everything. Lord, use us as a vessel. Use us, Lord, as an instrument of righteousness. Lord, I plead the blood that there would be nothing in our heart or life that would grieve the Holy Ghost. Have your way, Lord. No doubt, Lord, you're wanting to salvage someone's life tonight. Have your will and your way, and I'll give you thanks and praise for it. We ask it in Jesus' name, and for our sakes we pray. Amen. You can be seated. If you look with me back into verse number 30. Now listen, this passage of Scripture and the story I read to you, we've all heard it so much. We've all preached from it so many times and heard it so many times. If we're not careful, we will let the familiarity of the text take away our attention. Think, well, I've done heard that, I've done preached that, I've done saw that. I'm not preaching from a catalog tonight that'll say the same thing next time as it said the time before. This is the Word of God, and it's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen. It'll get personal. It will get into your life and read your circumstance tonight. But this is a real happening with Peter. And the Bible says in verse number 30, "And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, 'Lord, save me. Now, this is not a lost man praying this. This is a child of God. This is a disciple. This is someone that's heard him, heard the teaching of the Lord, have saw miracles of the Lord, has spent time with the Lord, knew the Lord. But yet here, Peter had got in a situation, had got in a condition, had got in a circumstance where he needed to be saved. Now, he did not need to be saved positionally. The blood had taken care of that. But he did need to be saved practically. And I want to preach with that in thought and mind. It's a simple, it's so simple, but I know God wants me to preach it tonight. I want to preach on when saved people need saving. When saved people need saving. I'm looking at a congregation of people would not be here tonight, and you're listening to a preacher that would not be here tonight had not it been for the Lord saving saved people. I'm telling you, we get in situations, we get in storms, we get in circumstances to where if it hadn't have been for the intervening, interrupting work of God, we would have went under, we would have been out of business. But thank God our Savior saves saved people. Amen. I say hallelujah. Turn back a couple of pages, if you would, to chapter 8. Look at chapter number 8. Glory to God, I feel like running around the building. Amen. Chapter number 8, the disciples had just come from hearing the Sermon on the Mount and went straight into a storm. What about that? Truth given will be truth tested. And in chapter number 8, I want you to look with me in verse 23. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, come on now, listen. Lord, save us. We perish. So we see it there again. Jesus is illustrating the truth that saved people need saving. I wonder, hid out in this congregation, I wonder those that might be listening through the live streaming. You've got everybody fooled. You've got everybody faked out. But on the inside, you know you're hanging by a thread. You know you're about to go under. The storm is whipping you. The circumstance is whipping you. And I tell you what you need. You need for the Lord to save you tonight. Amen. No doubt about it, in spite of Peter already being saved and being a believer and a disciple of the Lord and heard and seen all that he had and been exposed and experienced all that he had, yet Peter had got in a situation and he needed the Lord to save him. Amen. And I'll say unto you, if Peter needed it, you will. Amen. If Peter did, you will. Amen. No doubt about that. He was obedient. He was in the ship God told him to get in. He had the presence of the Lord nearby. Are you listening? He was running with the right crowd. He was in the right ship and all that goes with it. But yet he got in a situation that he needed saving. Amen. Listen to this. This is all through the scripture. Let me give you some verses. Psalm 55:16. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Amen. That's not a lost man. That's a saved man that needed saving. Amen. Psalm 57. Listen to this. I want to turn and read the first two verses. Listen to Psalm 57. Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities me overpass. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. And as a result, listen to verse 3, he shall send from heaven and shall save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up, Selah. God shall shall send forth his mercy and his truth. Amen. Psalm 69 and verse 1, David praying, David, a psalm of David, he said, save me, O God, for the waters are come into my soul. Psalm 71 verse 2, David again, deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me and save me. Amen. Psalm 109 verse 26, help Lord. Oh Lord my God. Oh, save me according to thy mercy. Amen. David prayed in Psalms 12 and verse 1, help Lord. Amen. Help Lord. Amen. Now look that word up, that word help. 149, the word translated help translated is 149 times translated saved. Amen. You know what he was saying? Save me, Lord. Amen. 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 Save me, Lord. Amen. There's no doubt about that. Listen, Psalm 138, verse 7. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. Amen. Now, this message won't mean much to you tonight unless you have been in places where you needed the Lord to save you. Amen. I've never seen such a defeated church in my life. No matter where you go, no matter what steeple's in the air or sign is in the yard, it doesn't matter. People are so defeated. Preachers are so defeated. We need the Lord to save us. Amen. Amen. We need the Lord to save us from self. That's, we need the Lord to save us from sins. We need the Lord to save us from the shelf. We need the Lord to save us from the storms. Amen. We need the Lord to save us. In Matthew 6 and verse 31, we're taught to pray this, deliver us from evil. Amen. That word deliver means save us. Amen. Save us from what? Evil. Yeah. Saved people are praying, Lord, I need to be saved from evil. Amen. Amen. Acts chapter 27, Paul made this statement in verse number 20, that all hope that we should be saved were then taken away. Amen. I wonder, hid out in this Jubilee crowd tonight, I wonder how many that, listen, you're saying, preacher, preach to me. Preach to me, preacher. I feel like I'm drowning. I feel like I'm drowning in my circumstance and in my situation. I'm looking at the storm. I'm so focused on the negative. I feel like I'm going under. You know what you need tonight? You need to come to an old-fashioned altar and say, Lord, save me. That's what you need. That's exactly what you need, amen. No doubt about that. Let me point out a few things about this. It's very simple. But I want to first of all talk about the severity of this salvation. Yes, yes, yes. Peter getting saved wasn't optional. Peter, as a believer, needed to be saved in this circumstance, or it was going to take him under. It's going to take him down. It was a severe situation. It was urgent and desperate and crucial and pressing. Amen. Let me say this about it. It was a fact. Amen. This wasn't a fiction. This was a fact. Peter was going under. Amen. As a saved man, he was going under. As a saved man, he was struggling to survive. As a saved man, he was struggling to keep his head above water. Amen. We all know somebody that got took out by a storm. Yes, or rather, their wrong response to the storm. The storm didn't do it. They made some wrong choices in it, amen? But I want to talk about the severity of this storm. It was a fact. It was a fact that he was there. It was not imaginary, amen? Worst thing you can do dealing with your situation is deny it, amen? It was a fact. Number two, it was his fault. Amen. It was his fault. He was in doubt. He was distracted. He was, amen, he was dreading it. In other words, he was being controlled by fear and feelings. And then then it was his fault in that he made decisions. He made a choice to look away from Christ. He made a choice to look at the waves and listen to the wind. He made a choice, amen. It was his fault. Every time I've got in a situation, my friend, where I thought I was going under, 100% of the time, it's been my fault. And I've got good news for you. I'm jumping ahead right here, but that's all right. I've got good news. Thank God the Savior is able to save you. It was not only a fact and his fault, but it was forceful. That is, that it was pressing, urgent. Time was of the essence. Peter didn't have long. Some of you may have come to this meeting thinking, if I don't get some help, if I don't get some help in this meeting, if I don't hear from God in this meeting, if I don't get a word from the Lord in this meeting, I'm done. Yes. Amen. Yes. Well, I believe God's going to speak to you tonight. Amen. Peter was saved, but he was in a need of survival. It was life and death situation. Amen. Not only was it a fact and it was his fault, and it had an element of force about it, pressing, it was urgent, but also I want to say it was for his future. Had Peter not got saved here, he would have not stood on the day of Pentecost. Hey man, it's urgent. It's critical. It's crucial. If you're in that situation, and I know, I'm aware, preacher, there's some in here not like that tonight. I know that. Not everybody here is going through that kind of a situation and feel like you're just barely making it and hanging on by a thread. I realize that. But somewhere in your life, you may get there. It may not be today. It may be next week, next month, that God would want to recall these simple truths that was so revealed in Peter. Oh, yes, it was for his future. Amen. Not only do we see the severity of this salvation, it was severe. You know when you'll cry out, Lord, save me? It's when you're desperate. When you realize that you being saved by the Lord is a severe situation. Amen. I mean, Peter was going under. Peter was going under. Don't tell a preacher you're doing okay when you're not. How many of us knew that? How many of us do that? We'll tell, oh, I'm doing fine. How you doing? Oh, I'm doing fine. But inside, you know good and well, you're just hanging on by a thread that's rotten. Amen? God, help us to be honest with ourselves. We'll never get any help till we get honest. Oh, yes. God, help us. But number two, I want to notice something not only about the severity of this salvation, but two, the source of this salvation. The source of this salvation, where it's not first. Well, one, it's not in the saints. There was a whole boatload watching. There was a whole boatload out there, but they couldn't do anything. Amen. Sometimes you get your eyes on people, and I wonder why they don't do this and why they don't do that, and they don't care and all that. Hey, you better get your eyes off of people. Amen. You won't last long, especially with any kind of joy and victory in your life, if you've got your eyes on people. Amen. Amen. If you get your eyes on yourself, you won't have any confidence. Amen. But I want to say this quickly, that it was not in the saints and it was not in self. Peter was a professional fisherman. Amen. I promise you, he could swim. Yes. Hey, no doubt about it. He could tread water for hours and hours and hours and hours. But this storm was bigger than he was. Yes. This situation was bigger than he was. And I want to tell you, it was taking him under. He couldn't whip it himself. And how many people are fighting their own fight and trying to fix it and trying to figure it out and trying to do it and trying to outlast it and trying to, amen, trying to out-endure it, amen? But the truth is, you're not going to in yourself, in yourself. Amen. Oh, God, how many's trying to struggle? How many's struggling in here tonight? In a situation at home. Amen. And it's getting the best of you. And if you'd be honest with yourself, you're already seeing your spiritual life do this number. You're already seeing your spiritual temperature go like this. And now listen, I'm not talking about just lay members. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if they're not a preacher in this building like that. What surprised me a bit, there's not a man of God in here like that. And we can get there. Yeah. Are you listening? Amen. Are you listening? Amen. You're going to go through storms. That's part of life. You're not exempt. You're not going to get out of it. It's going to be a part of the journey. Amen. Yes, sir. Amen. A lady in our church, we've got some of their kids with us tonight, Miss June. She called. This has been several weeks ago, even a few months ago. Was going through a hard time, the situation, and it was just, you know, not making excuses, but I just lost some spiritual ground. Just being honest with you, I'd lost some spiritual ground. I wasn't out robbing banks and killing people and chasing women, nothing, but I just, my spiritual life wasn't where it needed to be with God. Amen? Amen? That's right. I'm just being honest with you. And Miss June, she's a praying woman and walks with God, spiritual. And she called me one day. I don't remember what I was doing, but she called me one day. She was just bawling, squalling. Amen. She said, "Preach, I've been praying for you this morning." She said, "I've been praying for you, preacher, this morning." And she said, "Preach, I wouldn't disrespect you for nothing, and I don't want you to take this wrong." But she said, "Preacher, I got to tell you something. The glow ain't on you like it used to be." If that had been anybody else, it'd have been over with. But I know this lady and I know her spirit. And she said, but the truth was, it was the truth. Preacher, you don't have that glow on you like you had. Hey, you losing ground? Hey, somebody knows it. You may think nobody knows it because you think I can put on a fake smile and put on a and say a fake amen or a fake hallelujah or raise your hand in a hypocritical way. You're fooling some, but you're not fooling everybody. How many people's looking at your life and wondering what's wrong? You need to be saved tonight. That's exactly what it is, amen. No doubt about it. Let me deal with not only where it is not, but where it is. The salvation that Peter found was not in a plan. See, it was not in a program. It was not in a people, but it was in a person. Amen. Amen. Peter found salvation. Amen. Thank God for that. He found salvation in the same one that saved his soul. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad he's an all-sufficient Savior. Not just to save my soul, but to save me from the storm and save me in the struggle and save me, amen, from going under. I would have already been gone. I would have already been gone if it hadn't been for the Lord. Amen. Let me say about this person, Jesus, that he's superior to the storm. If somebody's going to save you, they've got to be bigger than your situation. Amen. And Jesus is that one. Hey, man, he is superior to your situation. Amen. You don't find him struggling. You don't find him fighting the water and the wind, trying to survive. No, he was coming to Peter's aid with no difficulty. Amen. No doubt about that. Got to be superior to the storm. That's exactly right. Amen. Jesus was standing on the very thing that was causing Peter the problem. Now, I know that's elementary. We've heard that so much as you, oh yeah, I've heard that, Richard. I've heard songs about that. Yeah, but how many of you need to hear that tonight sent to you from the Lord? The Lord that is able to save you, amen, and to keep you from falling is standing on the very thing that's causing you the most trouble. In fact, using it to come to you. Not only was he superior to the storm, but he was sensitive to the struggle. Amen. Peter didn't have to send him an email. Amen. Peter didn't have to give him a text. Peter didn't have to even tell him what was going on. He knew where Peter was. He knew what was going on in Peter's life. Amen. Exactly right. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad Jesus is not somebody that just fell off the last load of pumpkins coming through town. Amen. I'm glad he knows everything about you. He knows the details. He knows what's going on in your life. Amen. But let me close with this. I want to talk about the success of this salvation. This is where I want to get to. The success of this salvation. I was sitting over there wondering a while ago, Lord, why did you save Peter? He was in denial, living by fear, doubt. Lord, why did you save him? And the Lord brought to my attention Philippians 1 and 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it, amen, until the day of Jesus Christ. Yeah, that's right. Peter wasn't where he was supposed to be. Peter wasn't what he was supposed to be, but the Lord had a covenant invested in him. The Lord had a lot invested in him, and the Lord said, I'm going to go, and I'm going to work, and I'm going to save him from this situation. Amen. Let's talk about the success of this. What's involved in it? Number one, the seeing. It involves seeing. It was in the fourth watch of the night. It was dark, but the Lord didn't have no problem seeing. I tell you, I get comfort sometimes just knowing the Lord knows. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I get some comfort sometimes just knowing that he can see. He knows where I'm at, and he knows what's going on in my little corner of the world. Amen. Oh, yeah, it involves seeing. But not only does it involve seeing, it involves hearing. Woo, glory to God. Can you imagine what kind of noise was out there that night? I mean, if it was the wind so boisterous that it was doing to that ship what it was doing, tossing it to and fro and filling it with water, I'd say that was pretty noisy. I'd say the waves are crashing around and splashing around. That was a pretty noisy event. But thank God Jesus has an ear that is tuned in to the cry of his people. Hallelujah. Whoa! You say, preacher, I can understand him hearing the waves, but he'll hear your wail too. Amen. If you wail out and cry out to him, he's got an ear that'll pick up just like a mama does the little faint cry of a baby. They can tune in, thank God. Hallelujah. It involves seeing. It involves hearing. I'm glad he's not in the dark in your life and your circumstance. He will hear you if you will cry out to him. Not only does it involve seeing, it involves hearing, but it involves reaching. Yeah. Yeah. Woo! Glory to God. Isaiah 59 and 1 tells us that his arm is not short, that it cannot save. Amen. Amen. The Lord reached you at your worst. When you needed salvation of your soul, amen, he reached you. You was afar off, he reached you. He was an alien from the commonwealth of Israel. Amen, you was an enemy of God. You were in darkness, you were dead, you were depraved. He reached you. And if he reached you at your worst, can he not reach you in your storm? Amen. It involves reaching. I like that. But then number four, it involves catching. Peter cried out there in verse 31, or in verse 30, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and did what? Caught him. I like that. I like that, don't you? Thank God he called him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Preacher, can I use you just a minute? I'll try to embarrass you. I know you're no good at ball, but I'm going to try it. I want to use you just a second. I want you to throw that to me. Stand over there. Now don't. What did I just do? I caught it, but in light of the context, what did I do? I saved it. That's what catching it is. Now watch what. Now do it again, preacher. Now I want you to look at here. Now what did you see what was going on right there? There was a natural course that was going to end in disaster. It was going to hit the bottom. Had I not saved it, it was going to hit the bottom. It was going to be awful. There was a course of gravity. There was a natural force in process. But I intervened and I interrupted. I got in its path. I stopped that natural course. I stopped that natural gravitational pull down. I stopped its destiny, what would have been a disaster, what would have been the bottom, but yet I acted as a savior and caught it. Oh, glory to God. I'm looking at some folk, my friend, that had not the Lord intervened in your life when there was a natural process and a natural course in your life taking you away and taking you down, and you would have hit the bottom. You would have been out of business. But thank God, Jesus Christ caught you, saved you, interrupted, and intervened in your life. Hallelujah. Thank God for that. Thank God for that intervening, interrupting work of the Savior. Bless his holy name. You don't have to quit. You don't have to get out. You don't have to go under. I want to tell you, if you'll cry out and mean it, Lord, save me, the Lord will work in your heart. The Lord will work in your life and save you tonight. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God, amen. What young person in here tonight needs to be saved? Oh, you say, preacher, I'm already saved. I'm not talking about the salvation of your soul. And preacher, no doubt there's some in here that needs your soul saved. The same Lord that'll save that, save us, save people like I illustrated, can save you. Save you from your sin. Save your soul. Yes. Oh, I wonder what young person in here is just barely making it. I wonder what preacher's wife in here just barely hanging on. Maybe your husband don't even know it. Church don't know it. But you're just hanging by a thread. Oh. It involves a kitchen. I like that. Peter couldn't catch himself. Amen. And I want to say this. Jesus Christ didn't respond just to the need. Jesus knew what Peter's situation was before he ever walked, left the shore and got out there where they were. He knew. He knew. He was standing there watching him. He knew. But he didn't respond until Peter cried out. Jesus knows all about you tonight. He knows your frame. He knows you're but dust. He knows your heart. He knows what you're thinking, how you're feeling. He knows your attitude. He knows your desires, your direction. He knows all of that tonight. But he can't respond until he hears a cry. How many is willing to come and bring your situation to the Lord and say, Lord, it's whipping me. It's taking me down. It's taking me under. And Lord, I'm not going to make it long if I don't get some help. Preacher, I didn't even know I was preaching tonight until today. I mean, he says I should have known, but I didn't know. He didn't mention it. I didn't know. But the Lord began to speak to me about 3 or 4 days ago. I told somebody today, they asked me, preacher, are you preaching? I said, I don't know. I said, but I feel like I am in my heart. I said, God's working in my heart. I said, somebody's going to be in that meeting's in trouble. Somebody's going to be there. Somebody's going to be listening in some form or fashion that is in a big heap of trouble. And you better run to the Lord and say, Lord, save me. Time is of the essence. It's critical and crucial that you call upon him tonight. You may not make it long, but then it involves a restoring. That same Savior that reached out and called him. Stretched forth his hand and reached out and called him. Restored him. You said, preacher, will the Lord forgive me? You really need an answer to that. All through the scripture, he delighteth in mercy. He's quick to forgive. He knows, hey man, if he should mark iniquity, who would stand? You say, but preacher, you don't know what I've done. You don't know the bruises that this storm and my circumstance and my choices have put in my life. No, I don't know. But I do know that the Savior is bigger than your problems tonight. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Heavenly Father, Lord, I come in Jesus' name. Lord, I ask you, dear God, that you'd speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, I know just sure as I'm standing here, God, I know just as sure as I'm in this pulpit, Lord, you spoke to my heart about this message. Lord, I don't know who it is. I don't know if it's a church member. I don't know if it's a visitor. I don't know if it's a lay member, preacher, position holder, Sunday school teacher. I do not know. I really don't know. But Lord, you sent the message tonight and they know. Lord, you bore witness in their heart. They know tonight that Lord, you've got their number and you've read their mail and you sent a message to their heart. Oh God, speak to them, I pray. Help them to respond. It wasn't a coincidence, Lord, that you began to deal with my heart a few days ago about this message. Lord, it's not a coincidence. Lord, somebody better move on that, Lord. And as the preacher's already said tonight, need to respond to the Word of God. Lord, you sent the message. You're present. You're ready. You're available. You're accessible. You're willing. You can do it, Lord. But you're waiting on a cry. You're waiting on someone to come and say, Lord, I can't do it no more. I can't fix it. It's bigger than me. But Lord, if I'll call upon you, you will embrace me. You will forgive me. You will restore me. You will help me. You'll save me. Lord, there's some saved people listening. Tonight needs to be saved. And I pray you'll help them to come to the Savior. In Jesus' name, amen, preacher.
Amen. Yeah.